Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety from the Lighthouse Hockey Podcast Network and Fans First Sports Network. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me on this Monday evening via Zencaster is my friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, I won't call this our first episode of the season. Still kind of in off-season mode, but over the last week or so, we've had actual kind of Islanders news, which after the very, very quiet summer they've had, almost feels like too much, like almost like overload. Like, oh my God, we got press conferences and guys are talking, they're playing golf, we got rookies on the ice. Like, it feels a little crazy all of a sudden when really not a whole lot has happened, but we do have a couple of things to talk about.
Yes, this is I really don't like preseason, as you know, and
yes.
I especially abhor preseason games because nothing good can really come out of them. But actually, I like today, which to me is the first day where like the team comes out and there's a little bit of media and everyone's in good spirits and they go play golf and whatever. It's one of my favorite days of the off season because I, no matter what, every season I will always be a little afraid that the players just won't come back.
Right.
like they are Islanders after all. Islanders have been known to not want to come back to the team or come to the team. And so today when I saw that picture of Matt Barzal and his new do, I was like, okay, good. Matt Barzal, he's back. He's going to play for the Islanders again this season.
Right.
He's not, you know, holding out or on some bus in Slovakia like Lubo Vyshnovsky was that one time or anything. It feels nice to exhale and know that these guys are back and willing to be New York Islanders still.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, not only are they back, they're back forever, basically.
Right.
Most of these guys, you know, so.
I mean, because even last summer, there was some trepidation about Sorokin and Romanov going back home and coming back. So, this summer, just when you start to see these guys pop up on the island, it just makes you breathe a little easier. And I've liked how different people have kind of popped up with different moves. You had Sorokin and Romanov were mini golfing together the other day. Barzal is in a bar band all of a sudden. And I'm of the belief that his band should come first. If he's like in this band and they are like a bar band on Long Island or touring or whatever, and if it's a game night and they also have a gig, I think the Islanders should be okay with him, you know, taking a couple games off and shredding as long as he's back for the playoffs or important games.
Right.
If he's got to play a gig you know, at McBride's in Belmore or something. He's got our blessing. He can take, he can do that. Take the night, Matt. Go. If that's where your heart really belongs on the stage that night, go for it. But yeah, so he's popped up that way. Bo Horvat, of course, has popped up that he was on Long Island because he got sued, which is about as Long Island as you could get. Ryan Pollock apparently is just becoming Mr. Hampton. So it's just watching them kind of, you know, end their summer break in different fashions has been quite enjoyable. It's been very much a relief. Lou is back. He's back. He was in Vegas. Someone snapped a picture of him in Vegas at a wedding over the summer. But he's back home too and doing his normal thing. And I kind of forgot about Lane Lambert, but he popped up today too.
Yeah, Lane is still here. He was at the Islanders Children's Foundation golf outing, the annual thing that they have. The Lou thing is so funny because I can't imagine picturing him like out in the wild. Like, just, you know, you could picture him at a game or at a press conference, like, you know, some kind of hockey related thing. But I don't, if I saw him at like a supermarket or a wedding or I don't know how it'd be very strange. Just right there. I mean, we listed off a bunch of stuff in just a couple of minutes that all happened in short order. None of it's too exciting or electric or revelatory. I mean, to me, the single biggest revelation of the entire summer in regards to the Islanders is that Bo Horvat's first name is Bowie. Like, that to me is insane, that Bo Horvat's name is Bowie. I hope that this becomes a thing. I hope that when he scores, people chant Bowie, Bo. Like, I just hope, like, I just have so many questions. Like, why Bo? Why not just stay with Bowie? Like, is this like a family? Like, I want to talk to his parents and be like, is this a family? Does he have brothers named like Hendrix and Led Zeppelin too? Like, I don't know what. To me, you don't have to just name Bowie. Like, that's a large mantle to carry around. No wonder he was a good captain to be called Bowie. I don't know. That's a lot. I don't know if I could deal with that.
Two of my friends from college, him and his brother, were first generation Americans. They're Filipino Mexican, and when his parents were learning to speak English, they watched movies, and so his name is Kiefer, after Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh wow!
And his brother is Denzel, after Denzel Washington.
Wow!
Yeah, and we always and they're both incredibly smooth people, and we always used to joke like they had no choice, like had to be as cool as your names.
Well, you got a kid right.
And but Bowie is, to me, like, you got to lean into it now, man. Just let us, add it to the soundtrack. We'd love to hear some, Rebel, if maybe he takes a penalty or something.
Yeah, I mean, the possibilities really are endless. Like, just open with Let's Dance. Like, why not? Just anything, really. But that's pretty wild. My wife had a student once many years ago whose name was Denzel Washington. Like, literally, his name was Denzel Washington. And I was like, man. I don't know. That would have been too much for my brain. I don't know if I could. He's apparently a nice kid, so she didn't have to like send him to the principal's office or anything. Okay, we're getting off track. We are going to talk about a bunch of stuff. Before we dive into these few topics we have, reminder that we are on Patreon at patreon.com/islandersanxiety. You can sign up for a plan as low as $2 a month, and you get ad-free episodes of this show, plus bonus podcasts, written posts, and you never know what else might show up there. So patreon.com/islandersanxiety. Sign up. It's dirt cheap. And you won't regret it, I promise. Okay, so we're going to kind of shift around the timeline a little bit here. And I want to go all the way back to a week ago today, or a week ago yesterday, if you're listening to this on Tuesday. Lou Lamoriello called a press conference. At first, I was like, that's weird. Hopefully nothing crazy happens. And nothing crazy happened at all. It's about 20 minutes long. You can watch on the Islanders site. And, you know, we gave an update on kind of where what they were thinking about doing for rookie camp, which was starting that week, how it was going to be run, and how many groups they were having and stuff like that. It was kind of boring, to be honest with you. But he did announce a few things, and I'm going to throw these at you, and I want you to kind of rank how significant do you think they are going to be in relation to this team's play in the regular season? Obviously, we have a little training camp to play, but these are the three things that kind of stuck out to me. They got written up a lot, and they all seem pretty significant in one way or the other, but I want you to tell me what you think is the most significant and then the least significant. So number one is that Alex Romanov is still rehabbing and he won't be back for the start of camp. Doesn't sound like he's going to miss too much of camp. Doesn't sound like he's in bad shape. Everything's along the timeline, but he is going to miss the first couple of days of camp. I believe he had shoulder surgery, but I might be wrong. But so that was number one. Number two is that Zach Parise is not going to be at camp. He's not retired, but he ain't going to be at Islanders camp. So He's still mulling over his options, I guess. He's still chilling with the family. That's great, but you're not going to see Zach in a week's time over at Islanders camp. And then the third thing was that all of the coaches from last year, including the much maligned power play coaches, John McClain, I guess, are all going to be back. You know, and which is not a surprise because, frankly, if one of those guys got fired, we would have heard about it probably 2 months ago. So of those three things, Romanov injury, Parisi not going to be here, coaches coming back, which of those do you think is the most significant, will have the most significant impact on the regular season once that gets started on October 13th?
I think, and if I'm looking at this in this way, which is which ones scare me the most to the least.
It makes sense.
Yeah, the Parisi one probably scares me the most. Then it's Romanov, and then it's the coaches. And the reason I think that the coaching one is insignificant is, they know what happened with the power play too.
We talked about this last time.
Yeah, this is something that they could.
Right.
They're all for whatever, whatever you want to say about the group of coaches, whatever, but they are NHL coaches. Like, they are head coaches. They made it behind the bench of an NHL team. Two of them have been there for quite some time. I don't really know how long Doug Hoda has been an NHL assistant, but it's a fixable problem. It's a very fixable problem. So I'm not too worried about that because it's the one glaring issue I think that this team has. Going into the season in terms of what we saw from last year carrying it to this year, and if there is a terrible power play through the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, I think there's going to hopefully be some accountability somewhere, so right. I'm not too worried about it. I think it's an interesting exercise in just fandom in general. Is there were people calling for Lane Lambert to be fired. I mean, I think even me and you, not that we wanted him to be fired, but we're like, I don't know. I just have no idea if the Islanders would be better or worse with a different coach for 23-24. Now looking back on that, which is, it's been 4 months.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he's back. I'm not. And it might just be because you're separated from the pain and suffering of losing a playoff series that was winnable and the fact that they were maybe a little slow to adjust or whatever.
Right.
But they made the playoffs against some pretty trying circumstances. And I think they generally got better as the season went on. And just big picture, I think it's, the grass is not always greener. Some NHL teams are finding that out the hard way right now, but,
right.
So it's just not on high on my list of worries.
Yeah.
Right now, at least.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the coaches are third. Again, we would have known before. And yeah, that would have been, we even talked about it in January when the calls for Lambert's head were at their loudest. You know, you can't let go of Barry Trotz in the summer and then let go of his replacement like 6 months later. Like, you just can't do that. You can let go of a coach before he ever coaches it for your team, which we'll talk about in the second half later. But that would have been a bad look. And I think the players do like playing for Lane. You know, we're going to talk about the Islanders Children's Foundation golf outing before, when he gave a little press conference, or a little, I guess not even a conference, but just to talk with the press. And I'm reminded that Lane doesn't really say a whole lot of consequence when he talks, not like his predecessor at all, but he does seem like a nice guy, and I'm sure he's very friendly to talk to, but in terms of entertainment value, he is no Barry Trotz, let's put it that way. But yeah, that to me, the coach's situation again, and like you said, if their power play is still terrible come November, then you could bring somebody else in. But, you know, I do, in a way, it occurred to me that we had a lot of complaints about Scott Gomez when he ran the Islanders power play. Now we're complaining about John McClain and the way he ran the Islanders power play. And then we complained about, what the heck was his name? John Gruden, the guy.
Gruden,
he ran the power. And so, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just them. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, maybe at this point it's not the coaches, it's the players. But we'll get again to Lambert in a second. Although I got to tell you, I do disagree, because I feel like the Romanov thing will be more significant. They want Zach back. Obviously, Barzal even said today, Zach, call me, you know, come back. We want you back. And I think that is significant to the locker room, but I think they'll figure it out eventually without him. And it does open up a spot for some younger guys to to maybe grab some playing time. To me, the Romanov thing scares me because we have seen guys miss, you know, a whole camp and then take 3 months to get back into playing shape, you know, because of an injury or whatever. This is not that situation. At least I hope not. I hope, you know, when they start the season that he's been back and had some training camp. So hopefully he doesn't miss too much. But when I hear a guy is going to miss a little part of training camp, I do get a lot worried because we have seen situations where guys miss, you know, what seems like a very small amount of time. And it ends up, they end up completely off track from what everybody else was doing because they're up to speed. And this guy is still 2-3 days a week behind them. And it becomes a problem. So I don't know. Again, Lou didn't make it sound like a big deal. Romanov is still progressing the way they expected to. This isn't a surprise to him, but that part did kind of grab me. And we've talked as before that, like, this guy could play a significant role in the Islanders defense. And I don't know. I don't like the sound of it, but
it is scary. I think that you're probably right. It's with Parisi, at least, you know, like, there's no significant downside. It's either he comes back or he doesn't, and the Islanders are planning right now like he's not, so he's like not on the roster. Whereas Romanov, especially because he was so good towards the end of the year, that you really hope that he goes from being a player who had a slow start last year to a player that can just put together a full season, because like we talked about, the Canadians fans say he kind of did the same thing for them
right
the season before he came to the island, and missing some part of training camp could add to a slow start. I think I would be a little more worried because the Lamoriello presser that he did was it was so detailed.
Yeah.
The details were of such little significance. He spent the first 10 minutes of his press conference explaining how groups and training camps work and why some players are going to be at rookie camp why others aren't. And I've never heard anybody take the time to explain that in his first like press conference of the season.
It's basically ELC camp. Like if you're an entry level contract,
and he's like, and then we'll have the Bridgeport camp, which will be just the players who were on AHL deals, like Bardreau.
Hearing the way he announces these names, it's so good. Pretty funny. Yeah.
Seth Helgeson, Bardreau.
Somebody was like, what about Odelius? And he was like, who? It's like, Odelius. So that was funny. But there was somebody else who asked another question. He was like, I don't understand the question. And that to me was like, now Lou's mad. He's in like midseason form. But again, definitely check it out. It is very dry. And obviously it's a week old at this point, but it's good to hear that kind of stuff.
I think it was a fascinating press conference because he's like, here's my new plan to throw everyone off the scent. I'm just going to, it was almost like syllabus day in college or something. He's like, here's how this is going to work.
Yeah.
Lou, we know we've seen training camps before. We understand.
Yeah.
The third group will come on at 11 a.m. Everybody will have a full day off for the Islanders golf outing. It was great. Anyway, the point is that he was very specific with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, although he was much more vague with Romanov's. I think if he was going to miss a significant amount of time in the camp, I think he would have said so. And I also think that they probably would have brought in another potential defenseman on like a PTO or something.
Yeah.
I know they have Dennis Chalowski and folks like that, I'm probably not as worried as I am about it until he like misses the third day of camp, and then we can start talking about if the season's over or not.
Right. When they give a kind of like an offhanded, like, oh yeah, it looks like he'll be back early November. Like, wait, what happened to just missing a little bit of camp? Then you could worry. But speaking of PTOs, Lou did mention announced at that presser that they had signed Jackson Cates to a PTO. He had been with somebody else. I forget now, not Philly, because his brother Noah plays with the Flyers, but Jackson had, hung around for a while. I forget where he was coming from, but no guarantee.
He's also with the Flyers.
He was with the Flyers too, Jackson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he just, you don't remember it because his numbers were Let's just say he didn't light it up.
he's got the Kiefer Bellows stat line there.
Yeah, yeah.
The Flyers. Yeah.
Just without the first round
yeah.
pick. One goal in 20 games with the Flyers.
Yikes.
Over three seasons.
But I think Lou mentioned something about this being another sort of Chris Lamoriello suggestion, which obviously worked out pretty well last year for Hudson Fashing. So you never know. Maybe, I don't think anybody expects Cates to make the team, but he can sign with Bridgeport. He can provide a little bit of veteran help down there. So that was just kind of like a surprise thing. I don't know if anybody's been following the signings and stuff. The Hurricanes have basically signed half of the hockey players on earth to PTOs this summer, including Kiefer Bellows and a bunch of other guys you've heard of. I don't know what they're expecting to do, but they have no farm team. So, they might have some kind of crazy thing going. I'm sure we'll be told that it's genius and it's definitely an Eric Telsky thing that, they've signed all these guys to PTOs without having an AHL team to send them to. But that's neither here nor there. Okay. We're going to shift around the timeline a little bit. So let's move ahead to rookie camp. We've got some tweets coming out and some videos you can see. Everybody's a superstar. We all know this. They're all going to be lifetime Islanders and lead them to a Stanley Cup, as obviously with every rookie camp. One guy who turned a lot of heads, well, unfortunately he's going to go back to junior because that's probably the smart move, is a defenseman Isaiah George. He is a fourth round pick in 2022. Signed his ELC just before camp earlier this summer. And I got to tell you, you see these little sort of grainy cell phone videos from the stands at Northwell during the rookie camp, and dude looks pretty good. A lot of times, guys that are that young, the line is always, he looks good. He's just got to put on muscle. And I don't think Isaiah George needs to put on a lot more muscle. He looks like he's pretty muscular out there. He's kind of throwing guys around. So it kind of got everybody's, hands rubbing and shifting and going, what do we think about this? But he's most likely going back to junior, and that's fine. But I will say, I very rarely ever pay attention to rookie camp. It is what it is. Sometimes I'll watch the blue and white scrimmage online if they have it. But I don't know. I started getting excited about this guy. I'm like, this guy would be I hadn't thought about any defensemen. We're so focused on forwards. And the defense is so set. You don't really think about that. But I'm like, yeah, if we can – you can add a guy with some skating ability and a lot of hitting power and maybe some offensive awareness. And suddenly things look pretty good, but that won't be this season. So we'll see what happens. But Isaiah George, we're watching you. Have you
great name.
Great name for sure. Absolutely. Has any of these, the breathless rookie camp tweets kind of caught your eye or any videos or anything that stuck out to you?
Nothing really. I try to tune it out because it's just a little bit of a, to me, it's like a little bit of a tease almost.
Oh, definitely.
Because you're just like, oh man, I just wish they were. It's like, preseason for preseason. I will say though, and this is something I wanted to say, and we talked about it on the mailbag episode, sort of, was
available that. Available exclusively at patreon.com.
There's always, it's now an annual tradition that every summer it comes out that the Islanders pipeline is, an affront to society and they're irresponsible in managing a hockey team if they're not going to focus on winning the Stanley Cup 6 years from now, like everybody else in the league. But the reason, and one thing I've learned throughout this past, 6-7 years is, and I've said this before, is the Islanders just have an advantage that teams that are like the Sabres were or Senators, these younger upstart teams, that the Devils, they can be patient. So a guy like Isaiah George, who he was a fourth round pick, doesn't pop up on the Athletics 8 or 9 different ranks. If I had to do this draft over, prospect rankings, under 23 rankings, under 27 rankings, all sorts of stuff that they do. It's because he's not on anybody's radar to make an impact right away. And he doesn't have the instant timeline that we'll see from Bedard and Adam Fantilli and players like that. And that's okay. So it's probably better for for players like that, that they just get the 2 extra years in junior, then make their way to the Sound Tigers, and then the next thing you know, they're just turning their, when they step onto the NHL ice, hopefully, they're kind of polished.
Yeah.
And the skill set that scouts identified of them to make them good enough for a 4th round pick has been well rounded and such. And yeah, so the, like, it's not like the Islanders needed to plug in Cal Odelius or Isaiah George or William Dufour last year or this year. It's because they have good, capable, solid NHLers right now, and they've had them for quite a while. So the thin pipeline that they have, those guys are being given the best opportunity to make good on making the NHL, because they're just not going to be rushed.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that is never mentioned when these prospect rankings and pipeline rankings and redrafts and future, 2027 mock drafts and all sorts of stuff come out. Nothing that's ever mentioned is, this team's been good for a while, so like they don't need anybody to step into a role right now, so it's not a big deal that their system is a little weak in our eyes. But it's not like they haven't drafted anyone or signed, some college free agents and etc. They have guys that they've just been able to be patient with, and if that guy hits as a 23-year-old, who cares that he's 23 and not 20, and we had to wait a little while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just how I've been thinking about this. And like, it's not like the Islanders needed to draft a game breaking forward this draft, or they, I mentioned it about the goalies, that the reason the Rangers were able to go from Lundqvist to Shesterkin is because they had Lundqvist. Like, they didn't need a goalie for a very, very, very long time, and that bought them time to find one, for one to fall in their lap. And now the Islanders have been like that throughout their organization for quite a while, that they don't need to find the next Matt Barzal. They don't need to find a number one center. They don't need to find a number two center. Like, they have these guys. So players like Danny Nelson, who seems to check out and tick a lot of boxes for a prospect that can hit, he's going to have every chance to, because he's going to be afforded time, because he's not coming in and taking Anders Lee's spot in the lineup this year or next year, or he's not taking Bo Horvat's spot. So that is my, it'll probably be a very, almost once a month rant on, can we just stop worrying about it?
Yeah.
we just don't need to worry about it.
No, I agree with you. And I mean, but that gets to the other favorite criticism of the Islanders, is they're too old. And it's like, well, are they though? Like, they're just guys that have been around so for a while now, and they've been good. So, they want to be here. So, but I mean, again, they signed all these guys for a long time. They're going to be here for a while. And, when one of these younger guys hits, it doesn't have to be this year. It can be next year. They can spend time in the AHL, and that's going to take time. It's funny how those redrafters never talk about like the sort of development of these guys. Like, they expect these guys to be all-stars right out of the gate. And so the Connor Bedard thing is already too much for me. Like, this guy's got like a couple of videos from training camp at the Blackhawks, and I'm already over him. Like, I just don't want to see this guy's face ever again, but that's not how it works. We're stuck with him, and we're going to hear about how wonderful he is for the rest of his life. So there you go. And it's just going to make the Islanders look worse, because what does it?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, let's move on to the aforementioned Islanders Children's Foundation golf outing that was today. Great day for golf, by the way, on the island today. Rainy, disgusting. It cleared up after a while, so hopefully everybody got some time in. But it was cool to see everybody get back together. Matt Barzell's got, you know, his hair chopped off now. Not a very rock and roll look, more of a punk kind of thing going. Who else was there? Ryan Pulley. Everybody was there. Noah Dobson was there. J.G. Pageot was looking very sharp in a polo jacket, polo shirt. And they had some time to talk with reporters. Lane Lambert again talked a little bit. Nothing revelatory at all. Just did say that he was going to take a bit more of a hand in special teams, which is kind of interesting. They also did talk about moving Barzell to wing, although they did not say whether he was actually going to move to wing or not. But he did say that, you know, Barzy's just the kind of guy who wants to do anything he can to help the team win. It's like, yeah, sounds about right. But they're all pretty happy to be together again for a long time. They're all happy that Scott Mayfield got his contract. They're all happy that Ilya Sorokin got his contract. And I have an article here at the New York Post, and there's another legendary Sorokin quote, which is, he said that, you know, he's glad that it got out of the way. He didn't want to have to worry about being a, you know, unrestricted free agent, sign a contract. He said, when you have last year of contract or that extension, you see all this stuff and you're trying to think about it, it's hard, but now my mind is clean and I can just relax. And now I need a shirt that says my mind is clean.
My mind is clean.
Yeah. So that's kind of a fun side story. But, Bo Horvat also talked a little bit, saying he's excited to get settled now. They bought a house. Did not talk about the lawsuit or anything. But, you know, I was looking forward to playing with Barzell more. And, you know, it just seemed like everybody was in a good mood. I guess they were all playing golf, which is, you know, their favorite or maybe second favorite thing to do ever. So I don't see why anybody should have been in a bad mood. But did you get to what these videos are, by the way, up on the Islanders site. So if you have a couple of minutes, go check them out. Did you have a chance? They went up kind of late, so if you didn't watch them, I wouldn't be surprised. But did you get a chance to check out any of them or hear any of the stuff coming out of the golf outing today?
No, I just saw like stuff trickling out and saw the new do for Barzell, and I like it actually. I think it's
during his talk, a couple of people like interrupted to like, "Hey man, what's up?" And he became like, "Hey, look at this guy." And he was like doing this whole thing. And he looked like Tom Cruise all of a sudden. Like he was like, "Hey, look at this," you know, so that was kind of fun.
Yeah. He's the best.
Yeah.
But I mean, the only interviews that I've really heard, I heard the Lou one, and then the Engvall and
yes,
Lee.
32 thoughts,
and I thought that they were both great for a number of different reasons. My favorite thing about the Engvall interview was just how you could just tell that they wanted to just get the pleasantries out of the way just so they can quickly ask about the Leafs. And they're like, definitely, okay, like Pierre Engvall, Islanders, oh look, like you got a beard right now, you got to shave that up, oh, by the way,
right?
Talk to us about how much you miss it, you know, playing for that team up there in Toronto. And
first question was about the beard. Really? Yeah. We're still doing this? Really?
We're still doing it. I was waiting for, I'm sure people did, but I didn't see any. I was waiting for people to say that about Barzell's haircut.
Yeah, that's true.
But luckily, they resisted the urge to be so funny with those jokes. But between Engvall and Lee, like listening to Lee's interview today, that was the one that really started to get me excited for the season to come back. And also, I was getting a little frustrated. I think a lot of people were getting a little frustrated with Lee down the stretch. I think he got a little frustrated with his play as well. I forgave him. Just listening to him talk, I was just like, you know, you're the best.
He's so great. Super intelligent. Like, he hit me up. They talk on 32 Thoughts, especially about like Barzell not doing enough kind of PR for the team. Lee is right up there, man. Like, he could just do this stuff. He's a very compelling speaker, you know, like you want to just hear him talk. And yeah, no, I thought that was really good. The Engvall one was fine, but Lee was pretty good. He talked about how, you know, of course, same thing. Like, they asked him more questions about playing football for Minnesota than they asked him about playing for the Islanders. But, you know, it's funny because, like, if you ever had a question about why the hell these guys all signed these long ass contracts, just talk to Anders Lee. He'll convince you that it was the absolute right thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, the best defender.
I love that the context of that actually came up.
Yes.
Well, you know, and I actually, I was getting a little nervous that the question was going to be another, you know, quip, little clever quip about how the Islanders are in a cone of silence or whatever. But Elliot Friedman asked if like the players know that, because obviously the media and we don't know what's coming down the pipeline in terms of roster moves with the Islanders. But he asked Lee if he did, and he was talking about how, you know, you're just around the guys all the time, so you kind of know where everyone's head's at. Which I feel like doesn't get said a lot when players are talking about new contracts coming up for players who are about to expire. Usually it's, you know, we just want to have him here. We're so happy if he comes here, but it's up to him. And he was like, no, you know where guys' heads are at. And they talked about how all these long-term deals are such an endorsement for the group. And yet hearing him talk about that got me so excited, because it, so many people are just, I just hope that everyone just has to eat it with how everyone treated these deals. And, you know, if Ryan Graves signs a 5-year deal for way too much money by Kyle Dubas, it's the perfect fit. But, you know, Pierre Engvall signing at a very manageable cap hit for his prime years is, you know, once again, another reason for Lou Lamoriello to be sent to Rikers. But it does tell you one thing, which is what we say, like, once you come here, you just love it and nobody wants to leave. Like, Pierre Engvall was here for 2 months.
Yeah.
Nobody, and I thought it was funny that we were joking about that interview being very Leaf-centric, but the question was right there to be asked, which is, like, why on earth, and just honestly, like, why on earth would you commit 7 years to a team that you were there for a couple months and then you go away for the summer? It's not like he stuck around on the island and kicked the tires on the schools and stuff. Maybe he did for a little bit, but then he went home to Sweden, like most of these guys do. And he was okay with just saying, yeah, he liked it enough and liked the guys enough and liked the team enough that and liked the coaches enough and liked Lou Lamoriello enough, which is incredibly rare, obviously, because every player, of course, hates Lou. He's a dictator out there who makes you shave and all sorts of stuff. And we've heard nonstop at least once a day that this guy is a evil dictator, yet all his players don't want to leave. So I just thought it was funny that question wasn't really asked. Yeah. Like, how do you take that? I guess it's made a lot easier when you're getting paid that much money. But yeah, it made me feel the warm and fuzzies hearing those two interviews, because especially Lee's talk about how they like that ethos of giving it one last ride with this group. It really does mean something to these guys that, like, they want to do this together if they do it.
Yeah. The best part of the Lee interview was when he talked about how the pandemic season was one of his best hockey memories. Because there, you know, they spent 6 weeks in a hotel in Toronto with his best buddies, and they were winning hockey games and they were flying high and they felt like they were on an unstoppable run that unfortunately came to an end. But that's when he and Barzell started picking up the guitar, and, like, you know, Barzell kept on going, and now he's on stage playing with people. And Lee's got two kids, if I'm not mistaken, you know, but, like, they were writing songs and playing ping pong and, like, hanging out, and they came together, like, they became so close that you're still seeing the fruits of it now. This team still is very, very close. These guys just love playing with each other. And Friedman and Marek were, like, genuinely taken aback. Like, yeah. That the pandemic season, that's one of your fondest memories? And he's like, well, yeah, because we were on a great run hanging out with our friends. Yeah, it stunk being away from our families for a long time. But, you know, we eventually went back, and we wanted to keep it going. Like, we just had such a great time. And like, that just tells you everything you know about these guys. They just love being together.
And this stuff just doesn't get explored. Like, once again, this is a great story sitting in front of you. And like you said, they were like, Marek, I think, said, oh, man, we always hear the opposite.
Yeah.
But these guys are different. Like, this is a very unique team. Everyone thinks that they're this this, they're not, like, the most vanilla, basic, cliche team in the league, but it's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, you hear the lip service from, you know, Austin Matthews doing his interviews. Yeah, it's such a good group. I love the guys here, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay. Like, go beyond that, Austin. Oh, I can't. Like, I don't really have any concrete details. Well, but you ask an Islander, and he's like, oh, yeah. Like, I know. I learned guitar with Johnny Boychuk locked in a hotel in Toronto. And Dennis Seidenberg is still here. And all this kind of...
I know we keep harping on the Leafs, but contrast the coverage of them going to that Springsteen concert,
Bruce Springsteen
last year.
Concert, right?
Or even a Blue Jays game. Like, they go as a group. It's like all over the papers. It's all over every website. Nobody bothered to ask the Islanders, like, you know, if they have any kind of reaction like that. Oh, sorry. You guys just signed these lifetime contracts. You must all not like each other and want to get out of here, right? Yeah. Like, no, it's not.
You must hate your boss.
Sure. Right.
You must hate each other.
Hate your boss. Hate the arena. Hate the place. Yeah. You know, you want to get out of there. So
it's such a compelling story to me because of how sports are just so transactional now.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody laments it and misses the days, the glory days, whereas there is a team, a straight throwback team playing in the league, talking to you right face to face right now. Yeah. And nobody wants to say, you know what? Like, there's something very unique about the situation on Long Island right now. Brock Nelson, Anders Lee, Scott Mayfield, Adam Pellick, Ryan Pulock. Like, these guys have never played with other people.
Right. Yeah, basically.
They've never played against one another.
Right.
So it's, and I know we're going to talk about Josh Bailey, and like that kind of adds to it, that this is a very romantic kind of band of brothers sort of thing. And every writer who covers the sport tries to foist that on the team that they cover, especially at one particular publication.
Right.
They try to like almost drum that up on the sidelines. Whereas then you got the Islanders where they're actually doing it, and it's a very egalitarian team, and they're portrayed as this villainous hulking monolith just coming into town, stealing all your goods, burning burning your crops,
right?
And then leaving. Whereas, like, these, it's crazy to me. But
they're seen as the boring, old, tired. Don't watch this. You know, it's like if they were a TV channel, they would be like, you know, PBS. Like, just, you know, don't watch. This is for old people. Don't ever watch this. This is terrible. Like Hallmark Channel. Like, don't ever watch this crap.
They're actively trying to not grow the game. They are trying to set the game back 30 years.
Right.
Man, these guys, all their kids go to school together. It's a beautiful thing. Like, this is there's something really nice about what this team is. And nobody seems to care outside of off the island.
Right. And as good as that interview with Lee was, and to a lesser extent, the Engvall one, and, you know, Lee also sat down with Pierre LeBrun. So I expect, you know, 6 months from now, there'll be an article about him too, using those quotes. They will immediately be memory holed by the start of the season. And it'll be like, they never happened. So take advantage of them now, go check them out. They were pretty good. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Josh Bailey, the Players Tribune, the PTO, the whole thing. We're going to get it all out. It's a lot, but we got to talk about it. So meet us on the other side. Thanks.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And now a word from our favorite sponsors. First, as always, VintageIceHockey.com, where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, jerseys, and more featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. They are working all summer long. Our buddy Kevin is hard at work. They're always adding new stuff. Check out Vintage Ice Hockey all the time. Follow them on every social media thing. They're all out there. They also carry our Al Arbor and the Island merch. And our portion of the sales go directly to the Center for Dementia Research. Use the code 4CUPS to get a free The Island coffee mug or pint glass or an Islander's Anxiety puck when you spend $50 or more. That is VintageIceHockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. They have a Rosé, a Pinot Grigio, and a Pinot Noir that was named a 2022 Top 100 Best Buy by Wine Enthusiast Magazine. All of them are delicious, priced at less than $15 a bottle, and available at your local wine shops and at UBS Arena. So if you're going to concerts, if you're going to see Aerosmith there, get yourself a glass of Pinot Project wine. Learn more at thepinotproject.com. Please drink responsibly. Okay, so Josh Bailey, we can never quit this guy. Last Wednesday, I want to say, he was there. The Players Tribune put out an article written by Bailey thanking Long Island and thanking Islanders fans for 15 great years and all of the encouragement and quote-unquote encouragement that he's been given. It's short. It was very well-written. It was very heartfelt, I thought, and was surprising. I didn't think the Players Tribune knew who Josh Bailey was, and I didn't think Josh Bailey would write a thing in the Players Tribune, but there it was. And I got to tell you, you know, it was well done. Like, I liked it. I'll go through some things I thought were kind of odd in a minute, but it was something, you know, and I think it really pulled on a lot of heartstrings of Islanders fans that day. I know you read it because I think you sent it to me. And so what was your thoughts on that? The Players Tribune article by our favorite Josh Bailey.
Yeah. I kind of started the show off talking about some, you know, like little bit of Islanders PTSD with just being relieved players come back after an off season. And anytime I hear the words Players Tribune, I get a little shiver up the spine.
Tell me
I'm
going to
be reading about
it's almost never good.
Like, yeah. Somebody's pacing around a beautiful in-ground pool in their million-dollar estate.
Yeah, no pool required for Bailey's thing there. So,
yeah, Bailey's, you know, I read it and it was emotional. Yeah, I got chills, especially the end. He's got a reputation. You hear it like every once in a while from whether it be, you know, Arthur Staple or just people who've worked around the team that he is quiet, but he's a very clever, dry dude. And that seemed to pop up there. And the signature at the end with the ooh-ah as his signature was, I'm getting chills for saying it right now. And I had a feeling that, because there was no mention of retirement in it at all.
Yeah.
That Players Tribune article meant that he had made his decision on where he was going to sign a PTO, which of course is with Ottawa, close to where he grew up. And then I kicked off a really, really hard debate inside my soul, which kept me up at night and will for all training camp, which is, do I want him to make the team? Because I can't stand the thought of him not being a one Jersey Islander.
Yeah. So the day after this Players Tribune thing comes out, the Ottawa Senators announced that they've signed Josh Bailey to a PTO. So it's a tryout. We don't know what's going to happen, but obviously all of the possible permutations are running through everybody's mind. And one of them is maybe he makes a team, which would be kind of weird to see.
It would be crushing, honestly. Yeah. And that's why I don't know if it makes me a bad person. Cause obviously if he wants to keep playing in the NHL, we should be rooting for him.
Right.
But I never want to live in a world where I'm competing against Josh Bailey, you know?
Right.
To like have to watch him and Brock Nelson line up against one another. Yeah. That's tough. And I've gone over like the Senators situation in my head a lot. And I've looked at their cap friendly page a lot. And they're kind of in a tight, situation with their cap because they need to sign Shane Pinto.
Everything I read underneath that PTO announcement was either Islanders fans saying, oh, Josh, or Senators fans being like, this isn't Shane Pinto. What the hell are we doing out here? It's a little weird.
My friend Eric Nidell, who was on our Weird Islanders episode about Chris Simon, said it just is the most Josh Bailey way to end his Islander career, that he's going to a team and would essentially be taking a spot of a Long Island born player.
That's right.
And that'll make the fans mad because he's not Shane Pinto. Like, how perfect would that be? And even so, it's still it's hard. Like, I don't I'm just not ready for that. So
yeah.
Like, I almost want to go up to Canada, Knata, to go watch the Senators camp and not even root for or against Josh, but just sit there and watch him and try to compute him wearing a different jersey. But that Players Tribune article, it really made me love him even more, which I didn't think was possible.
it's like finding out that somebody you thought was this sort of cold, very humorless kind of robot type has a sense of humor. And I feel like Josh Bailey has probably always had that, but he's been very sort of guarded in his comments. He's never said anything cross or interesting in his entire playing career. We know that until last year, when he basically kind of said that he wasn't happy about being scratched in what would have been his 1,000th game, or, you know, being scratched in the playoffs. And that for Josh Bailey, that stuff is inflammatory. I'm not even sure I would call the Players Tribune thing an article. It's so short. It's really only, it's like a letter almost to people. And I found it interesting that it only focused on Islanders fans and the people of Long Island. And I like that. I'm not trying to like start anything or, you know, form any conspiracy theories here, but he did not mention his teammates or his now ex teammates. He didn't mention the organization at all. It didn't mention I want to thank this and anything, but I guess it gets back to what you were saying, where like there wasn't any kind of retirement talk. Like, it's, you know, if he wants to say goodbye to Anders Lee, I'm sure he's still on the text chain, or maybe he'll see him on the ice and say goodbye that way. So it's not too crazy, but I did find it funny that it was so focused on this one thing. And usually, like, when these guys do write these Players Tribune things, they go off and thank everybody they've ever met in their lives. But not Bailey. He just kept it very short. I mean, the thing is probably what, 300 words maybe at the most. It's like,
yeah, it was short.
My daughter writes longer stuff and she's in like eighth grade, right? So like,
yeah, I mean, he'd be an editor's dream, I think, right? as in my time as an editor at Action Network, I just would say, man, like, you could have got this point across in 400 words, but you chose to do it in 1800. But I'm the same way, I'm sure. Yeah. But I thought that was, I didn't even pick up on the lack of mentioning the organization and focusing on the island, because I was just loving it up that he's like, oh, I love this place, and the people here have been so nice, and said, yeah, see, we treat our guys, you know, the right way, and this place, it is a wonderful place to be. And I was kind of half expecting him to mention some landmarks, but maybe it got cut. But it's going to be conflicting. I'll probably end up watching more Senators preseason games than Islanders.
It's possible. Well, you have to worry about anybody getting hurt or anything like that. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting from this. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert on the Senators, but I'm not cap friendly right now. They only have $900,000 in cap space right now, which is a very odd place for the Senators to be. And they got to sign Shane Pinto, who scored 20 goals last year. I don't know. You know, they were talking on 32 Thoughts about maybe a trade happens. They don't want to, but it might happen. And he is from Long Island after all. So I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen there. But I don't know. On one hand, it feels right that it was the Senators, because, again, he is from not the area, but they look like a team that could use some veteran help always. He would be returning to Canada where he's from. And, they're looking at getting this young team over the hump and into the playoffs. And, they could probably do worse than Josh Bailey. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how he reacts to being new. You know, but at the same time, I imagine it'll be exactly how he reacts to everything, which is just straight face, forward, not really, you know, not making a big thing about it. So we'll see. But he's got to make the team. So who knows?
I wonder if they'll sing the song, because, you know, we did sing the Pageau song.
That's true.
When he came over.
I mean.
So it would. I wouldn't be opposed to them singing it if he goes there. Yeah. He's the only player in the NHL with a song.
Yeah. Which I'm sure that because it's been covered extensively in Canadian media markets following hockey, like Tia said in Sportsnet, I'm sure every Senators fan knows the words to the Josh Bailey song that was performed, written by Long Islanders at Islanders games. I'm sure they all know it very, very well because, you know, everybody talks about it. So I can't imagine. I bet you 9 out of 10 Senators fans would be like, there's a song? Like, yeah. So anyway, but we'll see. But good luck to Josh wherever that happens. And it's going to be weird. But yeah, God, we got to go through camp first and see what happens. So we will definitely be paying attention. Okay. A couple of things left. We got to talk about this whole Mike Babcock thing. So Mike Babcock was hired as coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets earlier this summer. A podcast that shall remain nameless talked about how it talked to some players about how he likes to go through players' phones to see what kind of person they are. And it came off as very weird and sinister and off-putting, which is kind of where we left off with Mike Babcock when he got let go by the Leafs and stories we've heard from his time in Detroit. Well, fast forward to yesterday or Sunday when he stepped down after a bunch of investigations. First, the players were like, it's no big deal. Next thing you know, he's stepping down because it's a distraction, blah, blah, blah. Pascal Vincent is now their coach. He's the guy who's, you know, everybody's like, this is the next guy. He was Lane Lambert almost kind of before and after Lane Lambert, like the guy who's, he's going to be a coach one of these days. Well, Pascal Vincent is now coach, as is Lane Lambert. And I find the whole thing uproariously funny, to be blunt. Mike Babcock is a weird, off-putting, strange person who had some success coaching hockey. And my question to him is, instead of doing all this, going through play, you know, he asked him to go through a player's phone. The older guys seem kind of cool with it because it's like pictures of their kids. The younger guys might not seem cool with it because maybe they don't want you to see what's on their phone. And maybe it's just weird to ask people to go through their phone and look at pictures. Either way, Mike Babcock could have avoided all of this and still had a job if he like talked to people like a normal human being. Like, you know, why can't we just learn about the guys on the team by being like, hey, man, how you doing? You know, like, I'm Mike. I'm the new coach here. You know, what's going on? How's your summer been? Like, normal questions you ask normal people in normal circumstances. I don't understand why we got to play these friggin' mind games and all this stuff. And it's just like, we got to learn what kind of person you are. You know how you learn what kind of person these guys are? Is when shit goes sideways, right? That's when you're going to learn what kind of person they are. When the team is losing 5 in a row, guys haven't scored in 10 games, maybe some, God forbid, shit is going down at home that's bad. Things are going sideways. That's how somebody reacts. That could, you know, give you all you need to know about what kind of person they are, and then you can make a decision. But no, we got to play mind games and go through phones. And some were saying that like he puts like the phone on the TV so that everybody can see what's on the phone. I don't even know if that's true. And if it is or it isn't, it doesn't matter. It's just weird. Just talk to people. I don't understand why it's so hard to just say, hey, what's going on? Let's get to work. Like, that's, I don't know. Anyway, what do you think? we've been laughing about this in our group chat for a couple of days now, but it is, you know, now we've had a couple of days to kind of absorb everything. You know, what are you thinking about this?
Yeah, I'm thinking of basically the same thing that you and everybody else is. But the one thing that I feel isn't getting too much attention is, and Aaron Portsline sort of mentioned it, I guess. Actually, I should be fair to that. I read his article at The Athletic about it. He's
okay. That's allowed.
He brought up something that I don't think anyone else is really talking about, which is I just feel bad for the fans. I think. They were talking about how that podcast is like, we're a players podcast. We'll always be a players podcast. We're a fans podcast. So my first, whether it's the Coyotes or the Islanders or this situation, my first thought is always the fans. Because frankly, I don't know what it's like to be an NHL player in an NHL locker room or part of an organization or a GM or whatever. But I do know what it's like to be a fan. And I know what it's like to be a fan in shitty for a shitty team. And for a team that's the punchline of every joke and that's struggling to win and hasn't won a playoff, has only won like one playoff series in most people's lifetimes, and,
right?
So I can sympathize with that. And whether you wanted Babcock to be hired or not, at least it showed some sort of aggressiveness, is maybe the right word, from Yarmo and the GM. Like, okay, if I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna go down swinging by taking the ultimate risk here. And it's obviously backfired, and we kind of all knew it was, or felt like it was going to. But I hope that makes sense. Like that,
yeah,
that at least he was like trying something to give this team a jolt, and but it didn't work. And now they're in, it's not, the training camp hasn't even started, and they're dealing with another shitty situation after a terrible season last year. And they do have some good young players, I know, and they're in our division, so it's not like I'm rooting for them to be good. But I do feel for the fans that, man, it's, you're supposed to be so excited for a new season to start, and you're dealing with this, and you're a team that isn't really covered much outside of, well, I mean, 32 Thoughts actually does talk quite a bit about the Blue Jackets.
Well, it's because Yarmo is like, you know, he talks to them all the time. He's a good quote. He'll always come on. He's very friendly. He's a very intelligent guy, to be sure. They love that. Like, and so that's why you get that treatment. But it, now this whole thing, and I agree with you 100%. Like, if you're a fan, this really, really sucks. And I think another thing Portsline may have said, and I may have caught a tweet of this, of him saying this, it's like, what does this mean for Yarmo now? Like, yeah, you took a swing, it backfired before the season even started. Where does this leave you now? Like, if I'm a fan, I'm wondering, like, what now? What? Like, forget the coach. What about the entire team, the general manager? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, and Gaudreau and Jenner, who came out and said, like, oh no, I do think those guys kind of have to be given a bit of a break for doing that, because they were trying, I think they were just trying to manage the situation as best they could.
Probably.
And I mean, Johnny Gaudreau was at Vegas like media day, and now he's dealing with this shit storm. Like,
but again, like, some guys were cool with it and some weren't.
Yeah.
You know? So,
but, I mean, what a tough spot for those fans. Cause they basically, it was kind of like Charlie Brown in the football with them. They signed Gaudreau. It looks like the team's kind of rounding the corner. Then they get that Fantilli guy who drops them in the draft, and they make this bold hire as head coach, a guy who's won Stanley Cups, even though he's an absolute lunatic. And then this happens. And even with the Panarin, Duchesne, Bobrovsky leaving that one off season, like, oh, we got these guys, we want a playoff round. Oh, by the way, everyone's out of here. You know, that's a tough situation. I do feel for those fans. So that's how I've been looking at it right now. But it's also another great example of just how small hockey is in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
Because trying to explain it to a couple of my friends at work, they're like, okay, well, you have to start at the very beginning. Who is Mike Babcock?
Well, there used to be a team called the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
And yeah, he won a Stanley Cup.
Right.
And then he's kind of like, I don't know, Sean Payton type, maybe. in your world, he's a coach that did something really, really bad, and for some reason is back in the league and allowed back in the league. But they're like, okay, so then what did he do this time? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to try to explain it, because I don't.
Right.
Your kids, when you think he took their phones away and grounded them, I don't really know.
Yeah. Well, it's also funny, and like, you're talking about football, like the entire world now has been captivated by Deion's coach Prime and the Buffaloes, you know, like, they're the talk of the football world now, unless you're Aaron Rodgers, and you know, you're also kind of the talk of the football world, but like, you know, that's a huge story. It's getting covered by lots of different outlets, and like, this Mike Babcock thing is basically going to fly under the radar unless you're, you know, following hockey or something like that. So
even the rights holders.
Yeah.
Quick roll on the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean,
Jack gets fired, Mike Babcock.
They're lucky because they don't even have to talk about it, you know. It's actually funny. We were talking about it, and it didn't occur to me until just now. This reminds me of when Patrick Waugh, like, was fired or whatever, quit the Avalanche. And they went on to have like the worst season ever. And I think that might have been the season they got Nathan McKinnon or McCarr. I think actually there was a McCarr, I think, was the year was when they got to draft him. And, you know, it was like, who the hell is Jared Bednar? You know, and like, well, they just brought him up because they got to have somebody coach. So I'm not saying put a bet on the Columbus Blue Jackets to win the 2025 Stanley Cup, but I'm saying that season was absolutely horrible for the Avalanche, and they weren't even that bad a team. and that sudden change just before camp really threw them for a loop. Last thing I want to say on this is that players podcast. It's funny. They're all about the players, unless those players are Islanders, in which case they're boring, they suck, and they don't want them to progress in the playoffs. So you can miss me with the players podcast stuff. Anyway.
And it's so clear how badly the people in the mainstream media just want to be viewed as a, as one of the cool guys.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We got to give this guy so much credit. He's the most powerful guy in hockey right now.
Yeah. By the way, I'm free if you guys want to have me on.
If you ever need me on your podcast, podcast, let me know.
You guys curse and stuff, so you're cool. I can't curse on mine, so I'm not cool. But anyway, okay, we don't want to end on this very depressing note. We have another cool thing to talk about. This was making the rounds. It's another sort of Columbus-related thing, but a good one in this case. So Pierre-Luc Dubois was a Columbus Blue Jacket, was a Winnipeg Jet, now a LA King for a very, very long time. And he was on a different podcast, and I guess they asked him what his most memorable game was, and his answer, to the shock of many, involved the Islanders in a good way. So let me play this clip right now. This is from the Empty Netters podcast.
We played the first game back at Nassau.
Oh, shit. Oh,
yeah, the first game back. Damn. That was wild. Oh, that dude. Game. That game was wild.
That must have been crazy.
The hotel is right across the street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So all the Islanders fans are tailgating in the lobby of the hotel. And then you have two choices. You could walk or you could bus to go to the game. You know, you open your curtains in your hotel room and you look in the parking lot and it's full of people. And they all have their George Foreman grills and they're all grilling and drinking. You're like, I'm not walking. No chance I'm walking. Yeah. So, you know, you take the bus there and then warm up is packed. People are everywhere. They all got signs and posters. A lot of people are flipping you off.
I was going to say.
They're intense fans.
Islander fans are different, dude. Yeah. They're different people.
That was probably one of the most memorable games I've played.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're one of us, you remember that game very well in December of 2018. Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah, of course, December 2018, Islanders returned to Nassau Coliseum to play the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the place is an absolute madhouse, and it was cool to watch on TV. It was cool to be an Islanders fan that day, and apparently it was pretty cool to be a Columbus Blue Jacket, although they lost the game, and we have made somewhat of an impression on Pierre-Luc Dubois, which is kind of cool. And we were talking about this before, and what's cool about this clip is here's a guy with no connection to the Islanders whatsoever. He's not a known sort of shit talker or, you know, the stirrer of animosity. He's a guy. Yeah. He played in Columbus, but then he played in Winnipeg for a bunch of years and now he's out in LA. He has no reason to say anything about any of this at all. And he could have picked any game. And this is the game he talks about. It's an Islanders game. And that's pretty cool. It's just, it's just this guy, this random game for this guy is just such a huge moment. And it was nice to see, it's just nice to see somebody genuinely be impressed and really be wow, those guys are different, but in a good way, So hats off to you, Pierre-Luc Dubois. That was pretty cool of you to say. We appreciate it.
Yeah, he joins the Jason Demers list of of people who understand. Mm. What we're all about here on the island. Because that was just a regular season game.
Yeah.
And I know it was the return to the Coliseum after the time we kind of spent in the dark of, are they going to go back or won't they? Yeah. And it was just a great time. Yeah. What an atmosphere it was. It was a wild game too. They came back to win.
Right.
It was a terrific season, and the fact that when you talk to a lot of NHL players, especially ones who've got hundreds of games under their belt, their ability to be detailed on how recalling certain games it's hit or miss, I guess is the best way to say. Some will remember big games or little games, but they're not going to they're not going to remember too many details from a regular season game 5 years ago that in terms of the on-ice stuff was just your run-of-the-mill, we lost the game to a division rival, they came back, whatever, that's going to happen a bunch of times in a season.
Sure.
So the fact that he was able to, he went right back to that, a, like, once again, a random regular season game for the Blue Jackets, just tells you what kind of, what our reputation is among the people who matter. You know, it might be to folks who don't matter. They might think that the beer cans that everyone threw on the ice after Anthony Beauvillier's goal should have just been the end. The Islanders should have been had to forfeit that game and won the series in six.
Bit contracted. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Eddie Olczyk was looking for a helmet. And the way that John Tavares is still booed, the fact that when he came back, the Islander fans were so rabid that the mayor of Toronto had to enact a proclamation.
Right.
You know, that stuff gets painted by a certain corner of the hockey world as bad, but it's what adds color to the sport. It's fans are supposed to act irrationally, and the players like that. That's the point. That's why they play. They play because they, you know, how cool is it to be the villain in a game where you look out the windows of your hotel and you know, Joe from Massapequa is grilling a hot dog and flipping you off at 8:30 in the morning, and it's freezing cold out.
Yeah,
it's that's the stuff that sticks with them, and they, whenever you hear people talk about it, you're like, that's the Islanders. You're not hearing Pierre-Luc Dubois say, oh man, those Vegas Golden Knights fans, like,
yeah,
they're gonna come for you if you piss them off. No, they're fun. It's a carnival atmosphere, but I don't think you're fearing for your life when you're crossing the strip because a Golden Knights fan has a fork in his hand because he's you know, flipping a burger, and you're like, oh man, I hope that guy doesn't use that fork on me tonight.
Well, it's tough to be that intimidated by a guy in like board shorts and a Chris Angel t-shirt. Like that's this Vegas crowd. Whereas like Islanders fans show up in like a jersey that they've had since high school featuring a guy who they may never have heard of before, you know, and then they got the whole family in tow a lot of times too. So
favorite guy named Meyer was chasing me down in the parking lot. I think that was his name. He was wearing 4-4 Meyer.
Yeah. Who's Baumgartner? I don't even know who's that. Who the hell is that? That's got to be that guy's name, right? Yeah. That's not a real player. No, it's a real guy. My favorite thing about the Dubois clip is he talks about how, you know, you could either walk across the parking lot through the masses, or you could take the bus from the. And I'm trying to remember. You take a bus from the Marriott to the Coliseum. It's like 100 yards. What is that? What bus are you? Why? I mean, I get why, but. That to me is just funny. Like if I was a player, I'm piling onto the bus with, you know, 25 other guys. And then this bus ride takes, 2.5 minutes? I would be like, wow, that seems really unnecessary. But then you look out the window and again, the parking lot full of Joe's from Massapequa. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, that's probably the smart thing to do. But yep. I thought that was kind of funny.
But it's an unknown. Like I feel like people make the jokes that Islander fans are, you know, we are like the dirt bags and frothing from the mouth kind of fan base, and please, that is the biggest compliment you can give one. But it's not talked about in the same way that the Flyers fans, like the Philly kind of mythology is. But when you hear players say it, like it's so like their eyes almost light up because they're not expecting it, because you are expecting that maybe in Philly or if you go to some sort of, I don't know, bigger market like Montreal or something, or Montreal.
I was gonna say Boston.
Yeah, maybe, Boston, but, something like that. Yeah. But like for Luc Dubois, he was pretty young at the time. He goes into this team that he's probably doesn't know anything about, or fan base he doesn't know anything about. And like we said, like oh my God, Sal from Wanta over there is like telling him to stick it, you know where, and he's. Right. There's fires everywhere. There's like people burning stuff in those big oil drum things.
I mean, forget about like adults. There's probably kids flipping them. Yeah, like that's just how it works.
Exactly.
You know,
the guy. Yeah, exactly. Sal from Wanta and Sal Jr. He's on his shoulders. Like, and he's also yelling at him.
The kid is flipping him off with one hand and asking for a puck in the other hand. You know, like that's. And again, it's just the experience. And like, this doesn't exist. Like we mentioned Vegas. They're probably pretty crazy. Again, you know, Philly's always, but even still Philly, like I think that fan base is ready for the rebuild. They're ready for to start over. They're not going to be. They're not nearly as crazy as they used to be. You know, even with Boston, like it kind of is. You see a lot of like Boston matinee games, like Bruins matinee games on like NBC or TNT or ESPN or whatever, and they seem like they're pretty crazy. And I mean, obviously in the playoffs, teams get kind of crazy. But I mean, this was a game in December, and against a no offense to the Columbus Blue Jackets. An insignificant team, right? Like not a marquee team. It was just that location and just those people that made that special, that game special. And so he recognizes that. And I thought it was pretty cool. And again, getting back to the Tavares stuff, like people get all crazy because we're still booing Tavares all these years later. Well, go find another team in any sport that is that crazy that, you know, will boo one guy in a regular season game just because they hate his guts. Like, and it's spectacle. Like nobody else is going to do that. And obviously, you know, the funny thing is like the Leafs, in contrast, famously late arriving crowd, sitting on their hands, a place is like a library, even in the playoffs. So, you know, I'm sure for them, it's jarring that, you know, oh my, there's people here and they're like cheering and stuff. Wow, that's kind of weird. So, it's an atmosphere like none other. Yeah. And definitely, and he's not the only one who noticed, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's another one of those situations too where all you hear about is these guys talk about how, in these guys being the media, we love this stuff. We love fans getting into it. What an atmosphere last night in Minnesota for the Jets game. Like that was a great crowd, right? Mm. Meanwhile, as soon as it happens with Islanders fans, it's God, there they are going again. Like, can't they just sit there and watch a game like a normal fan?
Oh, these people are trash.
Just absolute trash. Yep.
That's us.
Like, yeah, we are trash and we're coming for you.
Yeah. Pretty much, you cannot escape us. We come for everybody.
So yeah, you tried to escape us. You tried.
Yeah,
but via Brooklyn, and we're back.
And we are back, right? Okay, well, we are not quite back yet. This is still preseason time. Season hasn't fully started for us yet. When the season does start for us, we will have a new theme song. So keep an ear out for that. Do not adjust your sets or podcast devices. We will have a new song. But that's, you know, we don't know what our schedule is going to be like until the season starts. We'll come back probably beforehand, do some preseason stuff. Definitely going to have stuff going on over the Patreon. So sign up patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety. We'll probably do our, every other team preview. Maybe we'll do some other sort of preseason stuff going on. Maybe we'll have a guest or two. You never know, but we are going to have our mailbag. We're going to have our country club atmosphere next week, our non-hockey podcast. We always have a lot of fun there. Probably talking bachelor parties, but maybe not. We'll see. We never really know until we start talking. But definitely sign up patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. Islanders Anxiety podcasts are part of the Fans First Sports Network. Find more about them at fansfirstsports.com. Shop vintageicehockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. Get hype. Hockey is around the corner. It's coming. We're getting geared up, and before you know it, we'll be on our regular schedule. So, Michael Leboff, where can everybody find you on Twitter?
The Big Lebowski with two E's. And before we go, I do want to give a shout out to my younger brother, Danny. And I never told this story because I'll explain why, but at the end while I'm telling the story. But he's getting married on Friday, so congratulations to Danny. And the story I'm about to tell you is that if you recall about 18 months ago, I guess now, or 15, whatever it's been, the Rangers and Lightning were playing in a playoff series.
Yeah.
And after the Rangers lost to the Lightning in heartbreaking fashion, there was a Ranger fan who cold cocked a Lightning fan in the concourse.
Oh.
The video went viral.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that Ranger fan was arrested by
an
NYPD police officer. Who is my brother Danny? And he is getting married on Friday. So he is was an underground Islanders legend, because as Arthur Staple tweeted out, I had let Art know that it was Danny. And the story about how I found out was, you know, classic Danny. That I saw the video, and the next morning I texted him because I knew he was working security at the game. I said, "Please tell me this was you." And he said it was. And I thought he was joking at first, and he said no. And when I was who punched the guy, he was like, "I'm a Ranger fan, man, like let me go." And he's like, "Well, I'm an Islanders fan." So Yeah, I just wanted to. He's not. He doesn't listen. So this right. is a shout out to Danny that will likely always go unheard. But congratulations, Danny. He is the fourth of. I have three brothers and a sister, and Danny is the fourth one of us. All four brothers will now be married, and then my sister gets married in November. So wow. that'll be it. Yep.
Woo. Wow. Well, congratulations to Danny and his wife on yep. their marriage. Thank you again for your efforts. Islanders fans appreciate it. Early congratulations to your sister on her marriage. And best of luck to your parents for having to deal with having two kids get married within a span of a month and a half. Jesus Christ. You guys don't do them any favors. But
yeah.
But then they'll be done. They'll be done. Everybody's married. We're done. We're off the clock. So yeah. it works out pretty well.
Yeah, it was because like stuff got so jammed up during the pandemic. So like these wedding venues are like, oh, by the way, we have this date open. So my sister's like, all right, we'll do it. Just get it over with.
It's funny. And it's also funny. We'll go over the whole thing, but like you're also in the mode now where like your friends are getting married too. So like feels like every weekend is another wedding. And it's, yeah, this happened to me 15 years ago. And I don't know if my wallet has ever fully recovered from it, but it is fun. And I like weddings. I don't mind wedding. Going to a wedding as a guest is fun. Going to a wedding as like a groomsman, or I'm sure you've been for your brothers and your sister, that's stressful. And that is a lot of stuff you got to do and a lot of responsibilities. But going as a guest is great. You get to sit, you get to eat, dance a little bit, eat some dessert. You know, it's fun. I don't mind weddings that much at all. But I got one coming up in October, my nephew. So it should be cool. But anyway, congrats, Danny. Congrats, your wife. And have a great, great wedding. And you enjoy, too. I hope you have a good time.
Yeah, we will. We definitely will.
Cool. And we will talk to you again very shortly. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll be back when we're back, probably sometime during training camp, I'm sure. But we'll be back and we'll check in and again, sign up at the Patreon. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.